Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
You know what they say, you don't want to make any basketball declarations in November. It's a bad time of the year, it's too early. I think Rizzo and I's youth basketball team is winning a title. I think we're early on that, and I think we're right on point with that. Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt. Streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm, ESPN South Florida. Check out the ESPN South Florida app today on the App Store to listen to us in full. Got you for 2 hours today up until 6 p.m. from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on a beautiful November the 12th, a midweek edition, 2025. Mike, have you given us a little bit of a voice check?
My voice is like a 2 out of 10 today.
So you got Doc Rivers going on right now.
So, folks, to get some context, Colin and I had our first youth basketball game last night. And as you guys, our loyal listeners know, the season last year, we won one game. And it came in the final game of the regular season. Colin, this year, I had to work Inter Miami. I had obligations. But this year, Colin was able to draft our team. You know, Colin and I are basketball guys. Colin played in high school. I played in high school. We know Paul. Colin drafted the team. I showed up. Listen, I didn't realize exactly how big our team was until I showed up the game one. Colin, we won by 40 points last night. We would have beat any two of those teams that played each other the game before by 40 points. And the reason I don't have a voice is because I was coaching like it was the final four of the college basketball season last night. I was very excited. We were press, like
full court press.
With all, like we said, we loved our kids last year. I'd take a bullet for our kids last year.
Great kids.
Our kids know basketball this year. We're not teaching what a bounce pass is this year. We're not teaching what a pick and roll is this year. These kids were picking up full press off of instinct and just getting buckets. The reason why I was screaming was because the only reason the other team was scoring was because they were forgetting where the guys were. And that's what I did. Point! The whole game, I was screaming, point! Who do you got? Point! The whole game. The whole game
ball
like a broken
pressure,
record.
Passing the ball up the court.
Right.
Transitions.
Right.
You know, hit a shot when you need to. They spread the ball around enough.
Right.
Unselfishness. Oh, it was great.
And now, Kyle. But let me get something straight real quick. I just explained to the audience. We lost every game by about 70 points.
We had a game last year. I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, 70-14.
Yeah.
It was bad. We've been held scoreless in a half multiple occasions last year. Multiple occasions that Mike and I's team last year. Again, great kids.
We love them.
I think they'd be the first to tell you, not the most basketball-inclined people I've ever seen in my entire life.
And it came to the point, I'd call my father after these games and said, I'm failing these kids. I don't even want to show myself. I don't even want to show my face in public after some of these games, the way we were getting dismantled. And then, of course, last night, you know, Kyle, I looked at the score. We were up like 35-10. And
they stop. What they do is they don't count twos and threes after you get to 15 points. They start doing by ones, and we still won by 25.
15 is way too soon.
Yeah, I agree with that.
A 15 point can evaporate in 2 minutes.
I mean, yeah.
But I looked at the score. I'm like, wait a minute. We should be up by about 40 points. Kyle, we got dismantled last year. They made rules about it because of how bad we got dismantled. And now they're trying to take away one of our kids.
So to build off that. We coach up in Gardens, right? It's a great league. It's a well-run league. We do a great job. All the coaches that are involved are somewhat of the usual suspects from last year. So these are the same coaches that, mind you, beat down on Rizzo and I's team.
Correct.
Repeatedly, unrelenting last year. Same guys, mostly. And we drafted these teams fair and square. And there were questions about a couple free agents. And, you know, got kids join the league late. They're not a part of the draft list. There was one kid that was submitted to our team, right? Two, really, but one. And he played last night. He hung out with the guys. all the kids. They didn't know each other at first. It was quiet at first. It was one of those things. It was like a summer camp day one.
Yep.
And then the second that we started playing, everybody was flying. Everybody had a great time. There's a camaraderie attached to it. We had 10 deep, so we did 5 and 5. We did 2 straight lineups. The first half lineups were good, not great. Then we fixed it in the second half. And the second half lineups, tore them to shreds. And now I got to hear today by the higher-ups of the league that our team is too good that we need to take away the kid with the biggest size, the biggest kid on our team in terms of size.
Yeah. After we got embarrassed, I was afraid to show myself in public.
So you're
asking for counsel from my father. And now
the kids had to change schools.
On Colin and I's revenge tour this year, and that's exactly what this
is. It lasted one game.
And then they gotta break us apart. I'm trying to win by 100 every
It lasted one game.
I'm trying to win. Like, dude, the reason I don't have a voice. I was coaching like we were in a national championship game up 35 points last night. I wanted to make a statement this year, and now they're taking away one of our players.
Now I feel what the Eagles feel when they're trying to ban the tush push. This is what this is. If you can't beat it, you can't stop it.
Right.
You could do the same thing. You could do the same thing. And now all of a sudden you want to take away our biggest guy? He's a baseball player. He's not a basketball player, but still. He's one of our top athletes on the team.
He's an athlete.
He's one of our top athletes on the team. And he's a crucial part of that second unit.
Big time.
And we want to take him away? What?
And he looked at me last night because, Colin and I, we were.
He's going to be devastated.
Devastated. Devastated. And that's the thing I wanted to make clear to the league office.
Really
today.
About the kids having a good time?
He looked.
Really?
He got a
question in the politics.
Let's put it this way. He just won by 40 points. He looked at me during the game, and he goes, we were going to make some substitutions. He goes, hey, Coach Mike, we're a package deal. I'm not playing unless James and so-and-so are in there with me. And I look, wow, we already got some team camaraderie going. Uh-huh. And now you're going to look at this young man and go,
rip him away.
You're out.
You're going to rip him away from his team? They don't do that in high school basketball.
No.
They don't do that in college basketball. They don't do that in the NBA.
Right.
You gotta do it now? Let us win by 50 points every single game. Because we will. You don't need to strip us of our parts. Because our parts were put together to make the perfect machine. And we have the perfect machine.
And the one game is going to be very personal for me. The
president of our company.
No, not even Steve. Dude, I love Uncle Steve. Oh. It's not that game. The guy we played in the playoffs last year.
Oh, he's coaching.
I got something for him this year. We got something for him this year. We got something for him this year.
Uh-huh.
We're going to play LD 40 minutes that game.
Uh-huh.
He's going to have 40 points in the game.
Our team's
Mike,
good.
Mike, you're not allowed. Mike, you're up by 20. You can't press. I don't care.
Slip the scorekeeper at 20. Do not put down ones.
Yeah.
Twos and threes the entire way.
Give me a technical.
Bring your own scoreboard.
Christian, this is like Ryan Dave running up the score against Michigan the year he finally wins. That's how it is this year. All right, with me and that coach. Remember we got in a screaming match in the playoffs.
Enough of it, yeah. I do. We'll see.
Tens got high.
And it's a competitive league. This is not just some throwaway league.
No, it's not.
Guys coach in this league to win. And players play in this league to win. And therefore, Mike and I, they saw one game. They saw 4 quarters, running clock, 8-minute quarters. They saw 32 minutes, and they said, absolutely not.
We got to
tear apart this team.
Something that happened to us every single game. Every single game.
Torn apart last year. We lost by a combined 2,000 points. We lost every game by 30. And we'd had a couple close ones, three or four. Great kids. There is no doubt. I am not knocking the kids.
We're not.
But not the most basketball-inclined people in the world. I think they'd be the first to tell you.
Christian, I'm not teaching the Christian, I'm not teaching the triple threat this year.
We had to do two-hand pound. We had to, through the legs dribble.
They know basketball. They have I saw a slip screen. And for those of you that don't know what a slip screen is, it's when you go up to the ball, to the guy defending the ball, like you're screening, and then you quickly cut to the hoop and you hit him out of I'm seeing things that, people know basketball, that they do. These kids are 8th graders, and they know
things
what they're doing.
Things change, because last year, we foolish went in thinking that we'd install the UConn offense with these guys. It just never came about. It's hard to install an offense with
UConn
the amount of
offense,
practice.
And then we found out they didn't know what a bounce pass was.
So
UConn offense.
This year's team, you could add a couple intricate things defensively, offensively. We could get a little creative with how we run the team now. Because now we got to surprise people. Everybody knows we're good.
Right.
So now we're the hunted. We're the hunted now.
Yep. I mean, Kyle, they're taking away one of our best players. They're already trying to, you know, poke the bear a bit. Were they taking away players last year?
No, the
they
best were, teams? Yeah, I doubt it. No way.
No chance. They were adding.
We got added two players. I mean, every time somebody joined the league added us.
The stinkers start adding kids. Don't take our kids. Don't take my team.
Yeah, that's nonsense. I completely agree.
Colin drafted that team, all right?
We drafted this team. And admittedly, I didn't even know every kid when we were drafting them. I knew what I saw in the evaluations. Not everybody was there. This is 7th and 8th grade basketball, by the way.
Yep.
So this is not, you know, this is not 3rd and 4th grade. You know, we're not teaching how to make sure that they run in a straight line. These guys can rebound, defend, shoot, pass, dribble.
But to be fair, that's what we had to do last year against 9th graders. It was 7th through 9th last year. So, like, the gap was crazy.
I wouldn't have a problem with this if the league interfered and Mike and I getting beaten down every single game last year.
Like, this is like the Browns or the Jags finally being a great team and just, you know, throwing the rule book at us because we might go undefeated. Like, no. We earned this. We paid our dues last year. We were laughing. Sorry, I got laughed out of the gym.
Laughed out of the gym.
Literally, we'd get laughed out of the gym. I'd leave the gym.
Kids had a great time.
And it's just Surrender Cobra in the car. What the hell happened?
Team's great.
Oh, I love, dude. Listen, I know we can't bring up names on air, but I'll tell you what. We have about 5 kids. Our go-to 5, even without our star players.
All 10 are good players.
Dude, I'll tell you what. The 5 we started the game with last night, that 5 is... If we consistently start and play that 5 in high-pressure situations, it's going like to be hard to beat.
Like any other rec league, you've got to make sure that everybody plays. We did it perfectly. We did 4-on-4-off.
Yep.
So you played the first 4 minutes of the quarter, and then we brought in another 5 to play the next 4 minutes of the quarter. And it worked perfectly because then that lineup gets a little consistency, a little camaraderie. They start working well with each other.
We have 2 guards on each unit that could bring up the ball and cross over and go to the hoop with anyone in the league. And we did have 2 big men. You know, we had our big in the first lineup, and then we had our star player who's about to get ripped from our team after he made friends and looked at me and said, "Coach, I'm not playing unless I'm playing with my buddies." He told me that on the bench.
Did we get involved? Did we tell the kid to boycott? I'm not leaving.
I know he doesn't want to
leave. I'm not leaving.
The kid just won by 40.
I'm not leaving.
He's going to lose every game by 15. The team he's going on.
And the thing is, we lose this kid. We're still winning every game. We're still winning every game. So don't get it twisted. We're still winning every game. Mike's right. This is a revenge tour.
It is.
We're going to tear apart. Our job is to tear apart this league. I could care less about the optics of winning by 30 in a rec league. I could care less.
Couldn't care. I'm going Kurt
Cignetti. After last year, Christian. We're running up every score.
I'm going Cignetti.
So those who are listening who are in this league, who have heard, I've already, the rumblings about what Team Russo and Rizzo have put together in that first game last night, first of all, the rumors are true. The team is dangerous. And the team's coming. And just remember those games last year where you guys decided to, all right, we'll leave in our starters a couple more minutes against Russo and Rizzo because we remember.
And pressing us down 30.
Pressing us.
Now you're lucky because of our, you know, incompetence last year, we're not going to be allowed to press you when we're up 30. Except for one coach. I will press one coach up 30 and I'll get a technical for it. Just to prove a point.
You know, we had 3 refs last night?
Yeah, I know.
That's insane. Three refs.
The one guy was our guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was making bets if you were going to keep your sweatshirt on.
Take it easy. Don't get him in trouble. Refs making bets. We don't like that sentence.
Well, listen, Kyle had a sweatshirt on. And he basically came up to us and was like, dude, I had the over-under set at the end of the first quarter. I had sweatshirt coming off. Because, you know, Kyle and I, we're animated. We scream the whole game. We scream the whole game. Hence why I don't have a voice.
We had a photographer at the game.
Dude, you sent me a picture. I am starting to lose weight because
You hate pictures of yourself.
I actually looked at the picture. I said didn't look that outside of my duck feet, you know, my flat feet. You know, I actually looked at that picture. I said, pretty good. Not bad, kid.
We had talent, Mike. Oh, we had talent. God. So we have practice tonight. How do you want to build off of the game last night?
Teams are going to sit in a 2-3. We got lucky that team didn't try to go into a 2-3 last night. Not saying they had a chance.
Even a 2-3 offense is going
to
be useful.
But any team that plays man-to-man against us, they're not going to win.
Right.
And I think teams are going to understand they're going to have to move to a 2-3. So I think we install short corner tonight.
Yep.
I think we install short corner
tonight.
One thing
I definitely want to do in terms of a drill is man-to-man defense and not fouling. Like, they could just staying in front. Because a lot of the times, if these kids can't dribble, if you're guarding somebody who cannot dribble, you just got to stay in front of them.
Escort him out of bounds.
And he'll make a mistake.
Yeah. Like, for instance, one of our better players, this kid was going nowhere but the end line and stepping out of bounds. It happened about 10 times last night.
Yeah, they would drive him out of bounds. Correct. It was smart.
Correct. But then late in the game, you know, we were getting lazy because we were up 20 points. And Coach Riz had to tell him to stop reaching. Escort him out of bounds. At that point, there's no reason to reach. He's going nowhere. You're seeing that kid dribble. He can't dribble.
So there were some fouling issues that we got to clean up. And definitely a zone offensive play, for sure. And then a little bit of an understanding of what to do on man offense. Outside of that, it's going to be pressure the ball and run the court. Yep. Because we're faster, we have guys who are athletes, and guys can finish layups.
Yep, and the only... And
that should be 25 points a game minimum.
And actually, those coaches... Listen, the coaches last night on the opposite side, they were great. They were
good guys.
They were great guys. Great guys.
This is not about the coaches that we played last night.
But at the timeout, at the same time...
It's the guys who run the league, the politics.
Correct, but...
We got to get these guys off our Russo and Rizzo. What?
At the same time, I wanted to make that said because I'm about to say something about their team. The only way they were scoring is if we had a defensive blunder. And you were coming up with the lineups, you go, Riz, talk to him. At halftime, that's what I said. I said, guys, the only way they're going to score against us is if we forget the guy under the basket. Because they had 10 points at half. 4 of the buckets were twos, so 8 of the 10 came on wide open guys because we're lollygagging because we're up. So, like, I think that's what we're going to struggle with. We're going to struggle with keeping these guys locked in because they're going to be up by so many points. And I don't want that to bite us in the butt, and all of a sudden we got a game come 2 minutes left because they crawl back into the game because we're getting content. I want a killer instinct. I need a killer instinct from these kids.
888-760-3776. Should a youth basketball rec league that Mike and I are coaching, 7th and 8th grade boys, be allowed to strip us of some of our better players because we're too good?
After we lost every single game by 70 points.
Context, we lost. We got pummeled last year. Pummeled. We were the lockout year Bobcats. We were terrible last year. Great kids. Terrible. 888-760-3776. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Catt. Download the ESPN South Florida app today because you can listen to Russo and Rizzo. You can listen to Theoretically Speaking. Listen to Kaiser University football games. We'll talk to Chris Swagger here in a moment. You can listen to the Inter-Miami English and Spanish, especially now in playoff season Sunday, coming up for Inter-Miami.
23rd. Sunday the 23rd.
Sunday the 23rd. So we got 10 days. So stay tuned for that. That should be a good amount of time. And we'll get to Swagger. We'll get to Ask the AD next. We're going to do some college sports stuff. But listen to all that stuff on the ESPN South Florida app because the ESPN South Florida app has all the South Florida beats in one spot. That's all the shows. That is listening back to it. That's specialty programming. And that's also the Florida Panthers on their quest for a three-peat. Mike and I will be live from Amerant Bank Arena tomorrow down in Sunrise for a little action with the Florida Panthers. So stay tuned for that. 888-760-3776. Now we're going to get into the program. Should youth basketball leagues be allowed to strip Mike and I of one of our better players because our team is too good? This is after we went essentially winless last year. Is this win in Lake Worth we got?
Glenn my
in
guy.
In Lake Worth. Glenn, welcome into the program. Who do we got? What's going on? What's your thoughts here?
No, I don't think you should take away the players if they're doing really well because kids need to learn about adversity and failure. And so youth sports is a great place where they can learn that as opposed to the workplace or somewhere more where it's high impactful if you mess up, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, Glenn, you think it's important for these kids to, you know, face adversity, understand what it's like. All right, these guys are much, much better than us. You think that's a crucial part of, I guess, child development when they're going through sports?
Yes, exactly. Or else they're learning living in a fantasy land, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And selfishly, Glenn, I want this gig because I want to win every game by 40. After last year.
Now, Glenn, is it selfish of us to try to win every game by 30 after going essentially winless last
year? Basically pulling a Kirk Cignetti every game.
No, you're doing the most rational thing ever. You're giving really good players, so the most rational thing to do is to maximize their output.
Appreciate the call, Glenn. Thanks, Glenn. Thank you so much. We're going to Loxahatchee. Who do we got with us, Christian?
Got our good friend Callahan.
Callahan, Loxahatchee. Callahan, what are your thoughts on this issue? What should we do here?
Hey, look here. Tell the, hey, them politics, they're wrong. Look here, y'all had a live draft. Everybody opportunity to get the same players y'all got. And they can't strip you players because y'all drafted them. Each coach drafted their players. So they making y'all suffer because y'all got good players?
I completely trust
you're preaching to the choir. Yep. Now, how should we handle this? I mean, if they strip us of a couple of our players, this is going to become personal now because should it be in our interest to win every game by as much as we possibly can?
I mean, make up after the first game. I mean, it's this rule in the rule books that y'all. I mean,
you're saying we should go digging in the bylaws?
We should go technicality. We should hit him on a technicality.
We get cited. There's definitely a bylaws. There's a rule book that I have.
Yeah.
And we could check if they could do that. All right. Yep. So that's an excellent idea.
That too. And then Callahan, last thing for me, partner. Am I being petty on wanting to win every game by about 50 points after we were the laughing stock and the kick of every joke of the league last year?
My size, when I played in middle school basketball at Duncan Middle School, we went to play guys and they blew us out the door. It ain't like they changed the rules after the first game. No, we had to suffer all year and lose every game. Duncan Middle School was the first year in 1994. It was the first time we had a basketball team. And first year, I mean, come on. We got blew out every game, but you can't change the rules.
Wow, it still sticks with this. Callahan, you still upset about that? Losing every game back in that Duncan window?
No, because, I mean, hey, y'all winning, bro. It feels good. You can't take out a star player.
Right. Right. Callahan, my guy, I can always count on you, partner. Appreciate it.
You know, he's right. We should go check out the bylaws.
Yeah, no, he is.
And see if there's a rule saying you can't change the rosters when they're put together after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wrong. With everything we went through last year, I know you're owed nothing. You know, what's the famous saying? Everything's earned, nothing's earned. We're owed a bone. I'm owed a bone.
888-760-3776. Mike and I have a youth basketball team. They're trying to strip us of one of our best players because we were so dominant last night in the first game. John and Jensen Beach, welcome into the program. What do you got for us?
My man, John.
Hey, first off, hats off to you guys for volunteering your time and setting a good example for the youth, man. We need more of that.
We appreciate
that, John.
Hey, did you guys draft, like, was the team drafted? Like in a selection process?
It was like, a normal snake draft process where he goes 1 to 10, 10 okay. to 1. Yes.
So every other coach had the same opportunity to draft the kids that you have on your
team,
correct?
A couple things I got to say here. Number one, there are a number of kids that get selected and placed onto teams after the draft because they sign up late. You know, they didn't get the paperwork in, whatever it might be. And we have, I think every team has two players of that nature. We have two of them.
And they're trying to take away one of those kids.
That's
John.
Correct. That's correct.
Because the team's not. So, because you guys are developing and coaching well, you're going to get punished.
You nailed it. So, what do you think? Should we find a bylaw to outlaw this? Should we take this to
wrong.
The courthouse?
100% find bylaws, do what you got to put up a stink, and talk to the parent of the kid, you know, or the guardian or whatever of the kid. And have them put up a stink and, you know, make it so that it's tough for the league to rip the kid from your roster.
All right, John?
John, thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Well, we heard from the people. Now let's hear from the brass. We'd like to welcome in Benji, who is the president of this league, the president of the Palm Beach Gardens Basketball Youth League that we Mike and I coach in. Keep this in mind. This is the guy. This is the guy.
I
saw the whole game. This is the guy. This is the same guy who wants to strip us of our best player. Benji, welcome in. How are you doing today? What's going on? Have you listened to any of this, and what are your thoughts?
I mean, we talked last night. So, first of all, thank you for having me on. Long time, first time. So, I appreciate you guys having me on. Second of all, just so we're clear, yes, we did 100% have a draft. We have 12 teams in the league. So there was 106 to 7 kids drafted. So everything you said is true. Then after the draft, just like you guys said, we had free agency, variety of reasons why kids sign up, wait list, money, financial reasons, you know, lots of reasons why. And then this kid signed up later after the draft. Just for argument's sake, if he was in the draft, he would have been your first rounder. By the way, you did, I believe, have a top 5 pick.
Yep.
If that is correct.
Yep.
So he's not your, quote, best player. he would be your second best player. But if he was in the draft, he would have been most likely a top five pick. So you would have had a choice between your pick and this kid.
Hold on a second. So just because this kid signed up late, Benji, let me get this straight. Who put him on our team? No, was it you?
It was Benjamin Schwab talking with, I believe you know somebody named Steve Policino.
Okay, and it was your decision collectively.
Vice President of the league.
Yep.
We had massive discussions for a variety of reasons. It was between you, somebody else. Last year, it was a rough situation. We put you in late. You know, the draft did not go as we expected.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very political of you, Mr. President. Very political of you, Mr. President. Yeah, you're right. Did not go to plan. I'll continue.
So I 100% figured he did not go to plan. But, you know, we appreciate, remember, everybody who volunteers, it's the hardest thing to do, give up 3 to 6 hours a week. So we appreciate it. So this year, you know, your team was very good. Steve helped you during the draft, even though you took his opinion over my opinion, but we'll see. You know, that's to be.
That was my team I drafted.
Done later on, but yes, right. But you did ask for our opinion. I've never seen a head coach ask for a opinion during the draft. But, you know, it is a rec league.
All right, so, you're trying to knock us.
You know, even though you were there at the draft, you had everything. Whatever. You know, but we can forget about that. So what happened was after the draft, he showed up. Now, I know who he was because my kids played basketball against him. He's an amazing baseball player, ridiculous baseball player, as you know. Talking about, like, you know, during the game, you brought up a baseball thing with catching.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was like pop thing.
Yeah, pop time. Right? His pop time's very good.
Even during the game, you're talking about other sports, which is nice. You know, giving the kids the full attention about talking about baseball during a basketball game, so it was nice. And did you tell the audience that you were on the court the entire game? Or did we forget about that?
Well, Bench, as you can hear, I lost my voice.
Talk about that you're assistant coach. Yeah. I've never seen an assistant coach stand up the entire game. I don't know where that's allowed.
So here's what's happening.
Gardens, I was fine with it.
Benji, you're deflecting. You know, you're deflecting. Here's what you're saying. You're changing the subject. Yeah. You put this kid on our team,
so
but you can't admit that you made a mistake, Bench.
Back to him.
Hang on, Bench, if I can't quickly. All I got to say is, Bench, he's going to be devastated. Partner, he's going to be devastated.
Okay.
All right, he's not going to want to leave. I'm telling you, you're going to tell him.
It was Benji's move.
Yeah,
this was your move.
You're going to tell him.
What are you pushing us for?
I guarantee you, you tell him that he's not allowed to play on our team. He's not going to play in the league.
Wow. All right.
He probably won't want to play in the league.
Benji would rather him walk away than our team to be good. Go ahead. He's going to play?
Okay, so let's forget about everything that you just said, which is completely untrue, but, you know, it's your radio show. I'm just a guest. Okay, because a couple of the points, obviously, which we can get back to later when you guys have time. Your two coaches stand during the game, very unusual. I don't think I've seen that.
He's big on the coaches standing. Benji, you put the kid on our team. You put the kid on our team.
Am I supposed to be sitting?
And I quote, we had to make a call with the first rounder, no names mentioned, that he was injured. So we didn't know if he was 100% at the time. We also, you guys only had 8 kids at the time, where every other team had 9. So we wanted to give you just in case sometimes kids don't show up. It's not fair to only play with 5 or 6 kids. Kids get tired. It's a running clock, you know. So we wanted to make sure there. So after I saw everybody's game last night, which, you know, at 14 points, it's only 1 point for a 3, 1 point for a 2, because we don't like blowouts, because we're a rec league, we're not travel. So we care about
you like blowouts last year, Ben.
You were okay with blowouts last year. That's one thing I'll say. We lost by 70 points on multiple occasions.
We lost 70-13.
Nice rule change right when we get good.
So right when you get good, no, I told you during the game, as you were talking baseball, as your assistant coach was on the court screaming about some kid name. Don't want to mention his name. He picked up 7 fouls in the second quarter.
Love that kid, by the way. You know, he's going to be a stud for us all year.
Not arguing with you. Defensive menace. He's Dennis Rodman.
Yep.
Without all the headache. 100% agree. He's your next Dennis Rodman. No, I looked at your team. I looked at the 11 other teams in 7th and 8th grade. And I'm like, what is a fair thing? And I looked at your team, and I'm like, even without this kid, and yes, he's not a basketball player first. Let's keep that in mind. Okay, he plays basketball on the side. It's not his primary sport. So what I looked at is how do I make the team fair? Now, I didn't pull a Nico Harrison and make the worst trade ever. Okay?
We're not getting a trade out of this. We're not getting anything back. We're not getting this is worse than that. We're not even getting anything back.
We have nine players.
You're stripping him from our team.
You have nine kids. When you have nine kids, that means kids, A, get to play more.
Now he's trying to play more. Benji, they play the same amount.
Benji, this player looked at me and said, this player looked at me last night and said, Coach, I don't want to play unless I'm playing
with basketball on this court last night playing with us. He fell in love with basketball.
He's gonna go,
you're going to strip him of his love of the game.
He's going to go by winning. And listen, I plan on winning every game by 40 if I can. I'm going Cignetti. We'll see about that. I'm going Cignetti every game I can.
Take yourself from being a head coach. Put yourself in as, would I rather have all the teams, kind of like the NFL? We all want parity, right? Huh. We all want every team to have a chance each game.
I'm looking across
the board, there's one or two teams that don't have a chance for a variety of reasons. Remember, we're all volunteers. Some people know the game of basketball. Some people don't. But yet we still ask them to do a lot, and we ask them to help out. So when I saw a team that was struggling the night before, and Steve and I, who Steve was in Atlanta, spoke about an hour last night, hour today, in between his meetings with, I think, Zach Spies and Papa John's. You know, Steve got up on the phone to talk to me, you know, and we talked about it, you know, and Steve and I's number one objective, you know, is to say what's fair for the league. And as a president, who's not a coach, even though his son's on a team, I'm not a coach. And even though we play you guys Saturday, that doesn't matter. That did not take
this
into consideration.
Hang on. That's why.
You just slipped that in there. Pause, my friend. You just slipped by this. So the game...
My son is not playing against you guys. My son's out.
Oh, he's not playing.
Therefore, you guys are still... Right, my son's got a bone bruise.
Okay.
He's week to week. So he's not playing against you, the number one point guard in the league.
Oh, okay.
He's, you know, top load management.
Okay.
He's resting. But what I'm trying to do is I looked at the betterment of the league. You can ask your lovely callers, what is the best thing for the league? Do I look at two coaches and trying to, as you guys call it, give up the love of the game for one child who's 12 years old, who doesn't know the love of the game because that's not his first game? I'm not giving up his baseball, you know, life. I'm giving up his second or third sport because the kid's got a cannon in flag football. So he could go Division I in probably any of the three sports. So, but the main sport is baseball. This is his hobby. So when you guys who consider yourselves young, energetic coaches, you make one trade, you make one move, and all of a sudden it blows up. Like, it kind of, I should go back to Steve, like, can these guys handle adversity, pressure there? Because last year, no one expected anything.
Now,
no one expected you guys, and you guys did it. You guys proved, okay, with adversity, with struggles, there. And by the way, this year, when we give you good players and a good team, and we're stripping your free agent pickup, who wasn't part of the draft.
Now you did.
Now you guys, I'm sorry, I'm hogging the airtime, which I'll stop in 5 seconds. It's like this adversity, this pressure, all this comes, and you guys, after one game, is like, oh, I have a whole show because what the president's doing is illegal. It's immoral. What should we do? Should we call an HOA? Should we get a lawyer involved? Yeah, it's pressure. Like, if you guys can't handle it, just let me know. Like, I don't know if Michael Kay's available. You know, David Kaplan from Chicago.
Hey,
I know, good friends with Cap.
I'm personal friends with Cap. Benji, you want to talk
Benji,
to Cap?
Benji,
I'll get Cap on this. I'll get Cap on this show right now.
The president of our youth basketball association with us now. Benji, I got one more question before we got to let you go. But one question. Last year, when you were thinking about parity, because you're so big on making sure the league is fair and parity, did you take players off of the top teams in the league? Yes or no?
No, but I gave you two very good players.
There we go. That's all I need to know.
That's all I need to know.
What are we going to tell this young man?
Let's see what a jury has to say.
What are we going to tell this outstanding young man when he shows up to practice tonight? You got to go home?
Appreciate it, Benji. For those who don't know, Mike and I have a 7th and 8th grade team, boys basketball. We had our first game last night. We won by about 35 points. and the president of the league, who was sitting courtside with us, decides to strip us of one of our better players off of a free agent acquisition that he, the president, did himself.
After we lost every game last year by 60 points.
Stripped us of now, one of our top talents.
Now, Mike, David Stern, you're a fan of him, right?
One of the best commissioners of all time. Adam Silver's ruined the NBA.
He put the axe on the Chris Paul to the Lakers move, didn't he?
He sure did.
He did.
The one thing about that is the NBA owned the Hornets at the point. NBA owned the Hornets. So they didn't interfere on two third parties. The Hornets were, it was the mixture of before Jordan. There was a politics involved, but you're right. He was dead wrong to do that.
You don't.
Parody. You want to scream about parody? Break apart the Thunder.
I feel for the child. I feel for the child.
888-760-3776. Miguel in West Palm, I appreciate you hanging around there after talking to the president. What are your thoughts on this matter?
Well, hey, guys, long-time listener, first-time caller, okay?
All right, but, appreciate that.
What I got to say about it, it sounds like you guys got a great team, and, you know, you got a free agent that he put on. So that's not your fault. You know, he put that person on your team. So why make you guys suffer? And then on top of that, he said that his kid is playing on another team. So
we're playing him Saturday. Miguel, we're playing him Saturday.
That's what I'm saying. So he doesn't want you to blow them out, you know, by his mistake.
Right.
He made that mistake or, so to speak, put that kid on your team. Now he doesn't want his kid to get blown out and the team to get blown out.
Miguel.
I say win every game, win by 50 points every game until then. You know what I mean?
I'm going Cignetti every game.
Appreciate the call, Miguel. Thank you so much. We got to talk to Chris Swag. We're looping a third party on this. Kaiser University Athletic Director. Coming up after this, it's Roots on Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Listen, you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys are the type that like to fight for you. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today. Because if take that one phone call and take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation. Now call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat, 1-0 in youth basketball officially with our 7th and 8th grade team that we won by about 30 points last night. Somebody who is well aware of blowing teams out of the water and doesn't have his best players stripped from his team midseason. Let's loop in the Kaiser University Athletic Director, Chris Swager.
It's time to ask the AD. Kaiser University Athletic Director Chris Swager joins Russo and Rizzo to talk all things college sports, the latest on Kaiser athletics and more. Ask the AD is presented by Kaiser Seahawks Athletics. Learn more at KUSeahawks.com.
Mr. Swager, welcome into the program. We haven't spoken in a bit. What's going on? How are we doing?
Good. Just actually left the pitch about an hour ago. Our men's soccer team captured the conference championship.
Yeah, again, nice. And towards the end of the season here, next couple
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, got the regular season, then just won the conference tournament. Our women's team kicks off in about an hour and 15 minutes up in Lakeland, so they'll get a chance to capture conference championship for the women. Volleyball team had an exciting 5-set thriller yesterday, so they'll be playing on Friday in the semis of the conference tournament.
Where was that?
That was over in Ave Maria, Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then we got home wrestling match for Southeastern tomorrow. So a lot of great things happening. A lot of postseason runs are kind of coming to fruition now, and we're getting ready to ramp it up and hopefully win some championships.
A couple more national championships. 26 yeah. We're at right now?
26 right now.
All right. How about that? So talking about winning championships, you're never numb to it, but you're well aware of what it takes to win a championship. You know what the steps you have to take.
Talk about the two-time, you know, conference AD of the year over here.
Is it two-time or five-time?
It's not five. It might be three, actually. I don't know. It might be two or three. I don't know.
Let's meet in the middle.
I don't know.
We'll meet in the middle at three.
Mike and I are coaching a youth basketball team. 7th and 8th grade boys. We're coach up in Palm Beach Gardens. We're volunteering our time. We have no kids attached to any team in the league. We coached our first game last night. This is our second season coaching. Last season, we only won one game. We lost multiple games by 50 points.
Final score at one of the game was 73-13.
They didn't care last year about how our team performed. But this year, we won last night. President of the league was sidelined watching the game with us. And the first thing they do, before they, you know, the clock didn't even strike zero, and he was deciding to take away one of our players and shift him to another team. And I'm curious, you're a guy who's got kids. You understand what it's like at youth athletics. You've seen it before. Is he dead wrong here? Is he dead wrong here in terms of taking off one of our better players, who, by the way, I'll add some context. This is a drafted league. I drafted the team. He was a free agent ad post-draft. He joined the league late, and it was the president and the vice president, who you know, Steve Politziner, our company's president at Good Karma Brands. It was his decision to add this kid to our team.
Do people pay to be in this league?
I believe so.
I mean, I've been there. I've coached like I-9 soccer for my kids and stuff. And one year I had a really good team and one year I didn't. So I've never
seen both sides of the ball
here. I've seen both sides. I do feel like you guys coaching is kind of like the guys in Goodwill Hunting. They just kind of hang out at the baseball field, like with no pay. Like,
Colin loves that movie.
Like, just you guys are just back there, like giving tips and pointers.
We're highly involved coaches. We'll put it that way.
We are.
How many kids are on your team?
We had 10 last night.
Now we have 9.
See, that's where I would. See, I've coached it where that's where I could possibly draw the line as far as being okay with it.
But isn't there
just because I've had?
You know, we did 4 minutes, 1-5, 4 minutes, the next five. We did that.
Well, I'm saying if there's another team that has 6 people, is what I'm saying.
You're missing the
point. I don't think there's another team that has 16.
Swags,
and you're saying a different player should have been taken.
I'm not saying any player should have been taken.
But if they did, you would have a list of players.
I'm not selecting which kid should hit the chopping block. I'm saying that this should not happen.
Our team shouldn't be getting touched right now. But they gave us Swags, hear me out on this.
Okay.
Had Benji on. He just called in.
Correct.
And he danced around the fact that he gave us the wrong
play.
He
gave us his point.
And then he was upset that Mike and I are on the court screaming and yelling. Hey, Benji, this has nothing to do with that.
Right. And
talking about parity and making the league fair.
Where I'm frustrated is this. Colin drafted the team this year. We're great. We didn't draft the team last year, and we basically said, hey, we'll coach the team that is available. That's what happened. And it was the word. Listen, we love our kids.
Love our kids.
We loved our kids last year.
Great kids.
Take a bullet for them.
Not the most basketball-inclined people I've ever seen in my entire life.
Chris, I was teaching them how to do a bounce pass, okay? We were struggling to get the ball at the court. They were adding players to the worst team, which was us. They weren't taking players away from the best team, and that is exactly what is happening now. So you're telling me after Colin and I lost the game, 73-13, and I was sitting in my car wondering what the hell happened. I'm ruining these kids' friggin' experience. This is miserable. I'm calling my father. I was a mess in these games last year. And finally, we have a great team. And just because we have a great team, they're going to strip it from us now? It's ridiculous. As you can tell, I don't have a voice.
Yeah.
I was so happy last night. I was screaming bloody murder the whole game. Okay? It's ridiculous. Wait, we're now... The team who was losing by 70 is now winning by 30, and now you want to play, oh, you're too good. How about the guy last year who ran the score up on us twice? I'm going to win that game by 70 points when we play that
points.
Guy. Our best players are going to play 40 minutes.
You're sympathizing with the president here.
Again, if someone doesn't have that many people.
It's not about the numbers. They evenly distributed.
I told you guys, you guys are the bad guys in the Mighty Ducks. They took him and threw him on the Mighty Ducks
because
of the district realignment.
Swags, they told us that basically the integrity of we would be too good if we had this player on our team.
Now we're too good.
Now
there's a too good clause.
Last year, Colin and I were in tears in our car losing 73-13.
Were you taunting people yesterday?
No, absolutely not.
Were you?
No.
I shook every single coach's head.
But during the game, because that could also.
No. The players do their own thing.
Chris, there's one coach.
The players were taunting.
Chris, hold on. No.
No, God, no.
They were, celebrating a three-pointer. Is that taunting?
I don't know. Were they, doing a gunshot to the thing?
No.
Pulling an arrow out of their.
No, John Morant Sellies.
They were pulling a Jamal Murray.
Okay.
I. There is one individual where it's personal for me in this league. That's it. It's a coach. No names, please. Colin knows who it is. Benji knows who it is. I'm playing our best player 40 minutes that game. He's staying on the court. Outside of that, there's no issues at all. And that stems from a playoff game last year where this guy,
you got your kids slapping the floor?
Well, we're going to practice tonight, and it'll be a motivated practice. I'll tell you that. So,
but also a practice, we're going to have to look at this player and go, you got to go home.
You got to go home.
What is that?
Unless you file an appeal?
You know what's great? It's like you have a great practice.
What do his parents think?
We have not talked to him yet.
I mean, we might want to do that if it's a minor we're discussing.
No, but they're just shifting him off. He's like this. He's a baseball player, right? He's a great baseball player. That's his main sport. He's doing this as sort of a hobby, but he's an athlete. So like he could clearly walk into a rec league and be pretty dominant because he's a good athlete.
Right.
I don't think there's no scheduling conflicts. The parents put the kid in the league and they say, all right, what team? Fine. Go do your thing.
And he shows up and guess what?
What did Mike tell you?
He told me last night, because we thought about subbing him on at some point, he goes, I'm not going on the court unless it's with these two. We're a package deal.
How about that?
Word for word.
And now I got to tell this kid, building a love for the game. Now you lose the other two kids, too. Now you're going to lose all three.
Now I got to tell this child.
That's a good point.
Now I got to tell this child, this adolescent, that he's got to go home from practice and he's not going to get coached by Russo and Rizzo. It's a joke. It's a joke. Where was this last year? That guy who ran up the score on us. Take away his best player last year.
Here's where I finished it. We had the president call in. We had about 15 minutes with him. And he was just dancing around the fact that he's dead wrong. And we asked him at the end. I said, all right, if you're so interested in parity, you want to take away a player on the best team, fine. Did you do this last year when Mike and I's team was substantially worse than everybody else?
73-13.
Did you remove players from the top teams and put them on the bottom teams? And he said, no. I said, thank you for the call. Thank you. That's
Chris,
all I need to hear.
73-13, me contemplating everything in my car. You know, I sat in that car for five minutes.
Kaiser's too dominant. Let's take off some of these players.
You know what?
We lose people to NIL.
You know what?
At the end of the year, stop it.
How about this year? Shea Spencer says, all right, so Shea Spencer comes back this year. All right, you know what? We're going to take Shea Spencer off of Kaiser. You guys are too good.
To another team in conference.
We're going to put him on St. Thomas.
We want parity.
We're going to put him on St. Thomas.
26 national champions is too many. We got to make sure other teams get national championships.
Colin and I lost 73-13. I can't listen to
it. Oh, the Kaiser University. Oh, the tennis team just got their first. Let's take away all their guys because it's too many. They're too many.
Right.
Lacrosse just went 3 in a row. No, I can't do that.
And then we get angry and get back at them. So it is what it is.
Oh, boy. What about the players? You'd be fighting for your players.
What about the child?
You'd be on the front lines. And tell me you won't. You'd be on the front lines at the conference trying to get involved to make the conference more.
The worst part about this is you'd be at the picket line, right in front, like the NFL schedule.
I mean, they do it right now.
You'd have the torch up front. Chris, you'd have the torch and the pitchfork up front in the front lines for the Sun Conference, in front of the building.
The child and his experience. That's the most important part here. He's going to go to some stinker and be miserable.
And you put him on the worst.
I guarantee you, he stops showing up to games within 3 games. I guarantee you, because he's on an awful team.
Or he shows up and goes for 30 next game.
He's not beating. First of all, nobody's beating us. We're still going to be great.
You're going to walk in. There's going to be an all-star team. You're going to be like, who are those guys? It's like one person from every team consolidated to one team.
We're that good. We're that good.
If I show up on Saturday and see him on the opposite bench on Benji's son's team,
here's the thing. President has skin in the game. His son is not playing because he's hurt right now. But we play that team on Saturday, and he's not coaching the team.
He's ripping, in all intents and purposes, this child is our second best player on the team and leads our second unit. And will average a double-double every single game if he plays for Russo and Rizzo. Maybe he's a savvy GM and he just made a good deal.
That's what I'm saying.
No, he's dead wrong.
That is colluding.
And he's dead wrong. He gave us the player.
He's dead wrong.
And now they're
taking
the player
away from us. And we're
asking
about it. He's talking about Mike and I getting off the bench during the game because we're yelling too much.
I asked if you guys did something wrong and you said no.
We didn't do anything wrong. I coached. That's what I do. I coach.
Try to win.
You go with slick back like Pat Riley?
Christian knows. Hang on.
With the old suit.
Christian knows who Coach Lynch is. My high school coach used a screamer. Yeah. I learned from Coach Lynch. Rest in peace to the great Coach Lynch. I'm a screamer. It's how I am during these games. Yeah. I got a lot to say.
I didn't appreciate that shot from Commissioner Benji saying that it was weird that the coach was standing the whole game.
Yeah, that was weird. He's deflecting.
That's a weird shot.
Deflecting.
It is.
Deflecting. I think you should go with slick back hair the whole way. Suit.
I'd have to get
you're
some
big
gel.
On the look. Yeah. What about the ethicality of
chewing some gum? Like
the ethicality of taking this kid off our team is wrong morally.
Very much so.
Morally. Think about the good of the league. Think about the good of the kid's experience. Mike's right. His experience. He had a great time last night.
The adolescent is the one suffering here. The child,
I don't have a side on this one. I mean, I hate to tell you guys, but
Colin, I guarantee you, he's gonna show up to that team and go,
I'm on
that.
It's a rec league. I mean, come on, guys. It's a rec league.
He's going to show up to that practice and go, you know what, I'm good. I'm all right.
Rec league usually it's like if you're getting pizza after the game or something good, then it's all worth it. I mean,
Let me add one more thing.
I have been in a tough spot though with coaching kids before. And 1 year I had a good team, and one it was like I don't know who's going to show up, and it definitely was
when the team's not that good, right? You start worrying about attendance.
Yeah, and it was challenging. So.
So now you're sympathizing with the teams who are poor in our league because they need a little better.
What about
help.
Us last year that won 1-30?
You would have laughed us out of the gym.
I would have, yeah. I would have.
It's terrible. That's why we're winning every game. You would have
been first in line.
That's why Colin and I plan to win every single game by a significant
margin.
By 100
points.
By a significant
100
margin.
100 points. And you know what they do now? They didn't do this last year. New rule. Every time the lead gets to 14 points, every shot, every point, bucket, basket, three-pointer, whatever it might be, for the winning team, just 1 point the rest of the way. Where was that last year?
Maybe they sympathize with your team from last year.
They sympathize with our team last year in the middle of the – they can change everything.
And they're trying to make changes.
No, it should be 25. 14 is where we can make a four – my team can make a 14-point lead disappear in 2 minutes. 14 points. Hey, that's a swing. That's a 60-second segment in a basketball game.
That's all you guys scored in one game. So, I mean,
you'd be lying.
It was last
year.
Not this team. Not this group.
People take the youth sports seriously. People are in it to win. People are in it to win. You know that. Especially at the 7th and 8th grade level. You know, they might be doing this for fun. People want to win. Mike and I want to win. The coaches want to win.
Especially after.
But it's about the kids.
It's about them having a great time.
All right.
But hold on. It's like. They asked Jordan in The Last Dance. Like, I want my teammates to experience this as well. We're the same way.
Right.
We want them to have a great time. We want them to say, I was on a championship winning team.
And I already told you, the kid's going to stop showing up. He's going to go to this god-awful team. He's going to go to this stinker, and he's not going to show up. He's going to go, God, I had so much fun with Coach Rizzo, you know, Coach Russo and Rizzo and all my teammates. Now I'm on this team. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to focus on my other sports. That's what's going to happen here. I guarantee you. Benj, if you're still listening.
Wow. Wow. All right.
Career ended.
It's all right. Chris Swager with us now, the Kaiser University Athletic Director with Mike Rizzo and Colin Russo. On to the college sports side of things. I do want to get your thoughts. You want to talk about unfair? I'll tell you actually what's unfair. College basketball started right now. You know where people are starting to dive in? You know, the transfer portal has been the new thing. People are starting to dive into the professional scene to get players to commit. There have been multiple players, I believe about four now, who have been G League level players, and they have now signed. Louisville got one of them. They have now signing, opening recruitment back into college after going into the G League, which I believe you could jump from high school, which is a sub-professional league, if not a professional league. And they are now going back into college and entering the recruitment fold. Now, that changes things if that's allowed, and it's been allowed to this point. I don't know if the NCAA has made a ruling on it. I don't know if they're investigating it, but I know that these kids have been allowed to commit. And I wanted to get your perspective on the level of professional sports that you can make an argument college sports is now somewhat professional. The level of professional sports that you can play versus when you go back to collegiate athletics, is this wrong or is this just another reflection of the new reality?
I would say it's wrong because of inconsistencies. I mean, you've had kids that have sat because they don't have core competency classes or just things that are just
academic standards.
Yeah, things that you look at and you're like, this makes no sense. So I think that's the NCAA's biggest issue is the inconsistencies there. Where some kids have had to sit for something way less, and then you bring a kid in that isn't obviously a professional or has gained an advantage by playing in a professional league, a competitive advantage. I think the biggest issue with college sports right now is just trying to figure out exactly what is the mission, because before it was giving kids an opportunity to come, get better, and move on. And when you start bringing people in that are already professionals and bring them back into that fold, it just kind of mixes the signal. Right?
Essentially, it is a professional league at this point, right? The college sports is starting to.
But if you're going to go to that conclusion, you got to draw a line somewhere,
right? But I don't think. I mean, if you think the amount of colleges, Division I, Division II, Division III, NAI, Juke, like it isn't. I mean, I think at the highest of highs, I would agree. But then there's a lot of people that get impacted who are there to get a college degree, are there to get better, potentially earn some playing time down the road, stuff like this starts to negatively impact them as well. Because it's a trickle-down effect, right? The amount of spots available and the amount of time you get to play is short. So, you know, for every kid that's had to sit in the past because they didn't, you know, the school they went to missed a certain class that they had to take, but their GPA was high. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
And a lot of coaches have spoken. Tom Izzo, the coach of Michigan State, has spoken out about it. Dan Hurley, a bunch of other guys who are, it sort of turned into a little bit of a turf war, whether these guys want to start dipping into this professional talent. Now, you can make one argument. There are guys who come in internationally who have played in professional leagues at that level abroad, where they're at a young age, you could enter those leagues early, and they have jumped over into college.
I mean, look at Illinois. I mean, the University of Illinois has had a ton of European players.
I just don't know if you can do it at an... Maybe you're drawing lines, you're being inconsistent, like you said. I don't know if you could do that at an American level. A league that's associated with the NBA. The NBA subsidizes that league. Right. It's like a minor leagues back to college.
Right.
And that, to me, is... We're dancing on the line. At what point do you just merge it, right? Just make it a developmental league for the NBA. like, that's where we're at, because yep. Now these guys can decide, oh, you know, the G League, these guys are too good, or I've gotten a lot better, but I think I could get better looks at the draft going back to college and dominating.
Well, it seems to me that they made a mistake. In their minds, that they made a mistake going to said professional league.
But that's what now, that's like. That was the rule the old days. If you correct. Made that decision
now,
to go pro,
I'm not against the money thing too. Eligibility.
The money thing too, right? That they want to go back and get NIL because the G League might not be as lucrative as Kansas paying me millions of dollars.
So in the NAI, you can regain your amateur status, but there's you have to sit for a year. There's some. So I'm okay with that.
So what does that look like? So if somebody is trying to regain amateur status from a professional status?
Yeah, so like say you went to the G League and then you wanted, you know, you had years of eligibility in terms of attendance left, you could apply to get your amateur status back in play, but you'd have to sit. There's criteria.
Right.
So I would be okay with that, because if you made a bad decision,
you gotta sit for it.
You gotta sit a year, or you know, you gotta catch up with classes or whatever. I mean, there's just, you know, boxes you gotta check. I'm more okay with that than the initial, I played. To your point, a booster walks in or someone walks in under the table and says, hey, I can give you an NIL deal if you go here.
Yep.
Like that just doesn't seem to be fitting the mission of college athletics as what it was intended. I mean, that it just sounds bad, and it's...
And Chris, that's every Division I school, right?
Right.
Like every Division I school that competes at a high level, in my opinion, is doing exactly what you just said, including my school.
Right.
But at what point are we going to start dipping into the guys who have actually played professionally?
Right.
Like, why are we drawing the line at the G League versus the NBA?
Right.
And at what point was that going to start merging? And, I mean, the NFL doesn't necessarily have a developmental league underneath it. But, you know, can you go get a CFL guy and then come back, or a Canadian Football League or the United Football League? Can those guys start coming back to college because they didn't get their fair shot at the NFL?
Right.
That's where you start to draw lines. And we start to get confused as to where this is heading. And I don't know if you have to... really shut the door on it. Maybe you're right.
I think you do. I mean, because again, I think it open, because again, there are kids on teams that are there for the college experience, there to get a degree. Once you kind of start, you know, especially with basketball, I mean, the roster is much smaller. I mean, football is pretty diverse. Some of the other rosters, baseball is pretty large, but you know, with basketball, there's only so many opportunities out there.
Right.
Rosters are smaller. It's more cutthroat.
Yeah, it's more cutthroat. So to me, they definitely have to draw a line. I think right now, I mean, it's always getting beat up like left and right in the court. So I think that's part of it too. Is I don't know if they want to fight another battle and go through another lawsuit. So I think that's part of the other issue.
It's almost like people see that they're like, the NCAA is bleeding, and like we could take advantage. It's like blood in the water.
Sorry. Yeah, you roll the dice and see is someone going to fight me on this, or is this one we're going to get by? And if they're not willing to fight that battle, then you're probably going to... Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen a year or two from now. Kind of like the fifth year for some of these guys this year, where they're granted that fifth year. If they didn't play at a Division I level, JUCO, NAI, whatever, they got that extra year this year. But that may not carry on. So, to me, the biggest issue with all of it, and I would think any coach or any administrator, is just it's inconsistent. Playing any game, rec league, basketball, where rosters change daily, it gets frustrating.
Right.
To go back to what you guys are saying, like, you got to know what the rules are. And if I know what the rules are and everyone's playing by them, I'm okay with whatever the outcome is. But if the line starts moving, that's where people are going to get mad.
Last thing here before we let you go. LSU is filing a report, or Brian Kelly's attorneys have filed a report, that LSU is trying to essentially dodge their $54 million buyout, and that they have not formally terminated him, and they're trying to terminate him, quote, for cause, to make a settlement, essentially, in terms of a lessened buyout. Does LSU have any ground to stand on here, or are they going to get stomped over by Kelly's attorneys?
That thing's a mess, man. I mean, in my opinion, when all these jobs became open, if you get rid of how it went down, that was probably the best job.
Right. Definitely.
Agreed.
Right? They've won three national championships, three different coaches, state of Louisiana, You know, they're
LS, the, SEC.
Yeah, they're the king there. You know, you're a fertile recruiting ground. I mean, that was the job. And now, I mean, who's calling the shots? Who's doing what? I mean, essentially from what you said and from what I read briefly, it's kind of like they told him not to come to work. And then when he didn't come to work, they're saying you didn't. So we're fired. Like,
yeah, right. They're like looking for a reason.
They're looking for a loophole to where they don't have to pay him the whole $50 million that are guaranteed.
And to me, it's just bad practice. I mean, I get it's money. I get it's a buyout. But yeah, I would be hesitant if I was a coach walking into that situation.
Do you think it's hurting them now?
Look, I mean, depending on what they're paying, someone's going to take the job, obviously. But I would just say the way everything has gone down, there's just a lot of question marks where I think before that was a slam dunk job.
Right.
I mean, again, three different people have gone there. Three different people have won. Now, you know, I mean, I guess they named an AD. You know, I think they promoted the person who was there. They got a president. But just the way it went down, you want to know that you're going to be given X amount of time to build the thing. Mm-hmm. Right. So is that 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? I don't know. But now there's probably some uncertainty on how much time am I going to have? How are they going to handle it? Can I trust anything that they say?
No.
You know, and that's probably a big thing that's going to deter some people, especially if you're at a good job now. So if
that's you're not going after somebody who's like, oh, this is a surefire thing.
Well, say if I don't have a job, like let's just say Franklin. If Franklin doesn't have a job, then okay. But if I'm at a school, if I'm Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin.
And I'm at an institution where I have a good relationship with my AD, good relationship with my president, and I know what I have in front of me, am I willing to risk all that to take a job with all this uncertainty looming? I don't know. I mean, I think that's a tough one.
It hurts the optics of the job for sure.
Yeah, and I think it hurts the candidate pool. So I don't know what they're doing, but again, I'm not a lawyer. They consulted their legal team, and they
Kelly's
said
getting
it was
that buyout. Kelly's getting that buyout.
He's going to get that buyout. But listen, is LSU in the wrong? Absolutely. But at the same time, I feel LSU. That guy was a nightmare. God, you're going to give that guy $50 million.
It just goes to show how much leverage these coaches have. Because they can get these 9-year contracts where they get $100 million.
Whose fault was it? I mean,
it was
I don't
AD.
Agree with
it was
them.
The same AD that hired A&M.
I know, but I'm saying I don't blame the coach for signing the contract.
Oh, God, no. I don't blame him at all.
They got so much contract.
But it's like if you put yourself in LSU shoes, like, my God, this guy is getting $50 million from us for what? Missing the playoff for 4 years in a row? I understand that.
Now, yeah. What's up ahead here for Kaiser University? Does the winter sports start here pretty soon or no?
Yeah, winter sports are off and running. Okay. Like I said, we got wrestling tomorrow night at home versus Southeastern. This Saturday, we've got doubleheader conference opener for men's and women's basketball, 2-4 at home.
Doubleheader. I like that. That's
versus
cool.
St. Thomas. Men's football wraps up their season on Saturday up in Lakeland. They'll play Warner. And then on Sunday is the selection show for the playoffs. So we'll figure out what seed we get, kind of if we get a bye in the opening round, kind of have a better idea. NAI playoffs are unique because they reseed every round, so it's not a true tournament, so you don't necessarily know what your path looks like. So within the next 2 weeks, could be hosting women's and men's soccer opening rounds on campus or going somewhere. Football, hopefully, host a couple opening rounds.
Nice.
Basketball's going, wrestling, so it's a fun time of the year. It's busy between that and the holidays. It's definitely interesting.
All righty. Chris, we appreciate it as always. Appreciate you giving us you got to change your mind, by the way, about this youth basketball thing, because I'm surprised you're not on our side, because we're too dominant. And you think you're Mr. Parody all of a sudden after winning 35 national championships?
Stuff changes very quickly.
You're the antithesis of
the parody. So I'm just saying, just because you say you're dominant today doesn't mean you're going to be dominant tomorrow, so we'll see.
Especially when the league gets involved.
Yeah, they'll start moving some players around. You'll walk out. No. 6'3" guy from Lithuania is going to be out there from the
Shoot
G League.
Threes.
Yeah.
That's Chris Swagger, the Kaiser University Athletic Director. Ask the AD with Kaiser University. Go to KUSeahawks.com to see more. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Gatt. The second hour of Russo and Rizzo coming up after this. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Anajar and Levine.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
ESPN 106.3.
WESP Jupiter, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hey guys, Mike Rizzo here. I know you're moving soon. Don't stress it. Call Good Greek for your total relocation solution. From packing and